Hi everyone, today's Perek of Rambam is the ninth chapter of Hilchos Nazirus. In this Perek, the Rambam will discuss what happens with money, which was designated for the purpose of Karbanos of a Nazir, when you use it for that specific purpose, and when they are used for other purposes. Halacha Aleph. Hamafresh Mos Shakrav Mehen Karbanos Nazirim, Vehekrav Mehen, Vohusiru, Yaviv Mosa Ran Karbanos Nazirim Acher, Shemoser Nazirim LeNazirim. If somebody had set aside money, that the money should be used to purchase Karbanos for other people, for people who are Nazirim, but not oneself. And then indeed, that money was used to purchase Karbanos for those Nazirs. And some of the money was left over. That extra money should be used still to purchase Karbanos for other, yet still other, Nazirim. Why? The general rule is that the leftover money that had been designated for the purchase of Karbanos of a Nazir are still supposed to be used for that purpose. However, Hefresh Mos Stumen, the Nazirus So, Vosiru, Yiplua Mosaros Lenedava. If the individual had set aside money without specification, we'll see soon what exactly that entails, for the purpose of his own status of being a Nazir, and then there was leftover money, that leftover money should be used to bring voluntary Karbanos. Halacha Beis. Hamafresh Mos Mifo Russian, the Nizuruso, the Hosiru, Moser Mos Ola, Yavo Ola, Moser Achatas, Yolichim Lo Yam HaMelech, Moser Demei HaShlamim, Yavo Shlamim, the Eintun and Lechem, Benachal Lo Yom Echad. If somebody has set aside money, this time specifying its exact purpose, for the purpose of his Nazir Karbanos, and then there was some leftover money, so if there's leftover money from the money which had been designated for the burnt offering, so you should bring another burnt offering from it. If there was leftover money from the sin offering, then that money doesn't bring another sin offering. It's never volunteered. Rather, that money should be thrown away completely, thrown into the Dead Sea. And if there's leftover money from the peace offering, so then you bring other peace offerings. But in that case, there's no need to bring bread along with it, as would be by the shlamim of the Nazir. And they are still limited in that they can only be eaten for one day, just as the carbon shlamim of a Nazir would be, unlike a regular shlamim. Halacha Gimel. Hamafresh Mos Nazirusso Umeis Im Hayustumen Yiplu Nedava. If somebody had separated money for the purpose of his own taking upon himself the status of a Nazir, and then he died, if it was unspecified what it was supposed to be used for, so then they are used to bring a extra voluntary offering. If, however, it had been clear what they were supposed to be used for, Demei Ola Yavo Ola, Demei Chatas Yachol Yam HaMelech, Demei Shlamim Yavo Shlamim, Benechal Liyom Echad, Ve'en Tumim Lechem. Then the same halachos apply as in the previous halacha. The monies that had been set aside for a carbon Ola, you use to bring a carbon Ola, the burnt offering. The money that had been set aside for the chatas, the sin offering, so that extra cannot be used any longer, as we saw with the actual extra, and instead it's thrown away. It's thrown into the Dead Sea. And as for the money which was designated for the carbon shlamim, so just as we saw with the extra as well, this counts as extra too, and you bring another carbon shlamim, and it's limited by the rules of a nazir in that it's only for one day, but it does not have to have bread come along with it. Halacha Daled. At this point, the Rambam is now going to define some of the terms we've alluded to beforehand. Kifat Hema Mos Stumen. What does it mean that the money wasn't specified for any specific purpose? Clearly, he's using the money for the purpose of a Nazir, so it has been specified. So, as was hinted to, the Rambam will now make clear. This is when somebody had set aside money to bring Karbanos for. He wants to use it for his Karban of being a Nazir, but he didn't specify more than that. If, however, he had said that these monies were for fulfilling my obligation, then that's as if he had specified. And it goes without saying that if he actually specifies, he says that this money is going to be for the burnt offering, this for the sin offering, this for the peace offering, so then that for sure counts as set aside for that specific purpose. If somebody had set aside an animal that had a blemish to it, in that case, that's also like he had set aside money without specifying its specific intent. Similarly, if somebody had set aside a big brick, a big amount of silver or of gold, or he had set aside a particular item, then that too counts as if he had set it aside without specifying its specific purpose, even though in this case he might have. Even if he had said, this is for the purpose of my sin offering, my burnt offering, my peace offering, nonetheless, it counts as undesignated. Halacha Vav. Homer elu l'chatasi, v'ashar l'zurasi, umeis, oshaisa isha, hefer la baila. Dmei chatas yochum yama melach, vashar yabo bechatzion, ola bechatzion shalom. If any had said that these monies are for the purpose of my sin offering, and then the rest is for the karbanos of my being a nazir, and he dies, or if a woman had made a statement like this, and then her husband had undone her neder to be a nazir, in that case, the money which was designated for the karban chatas has to be thrown away. It's brought to the Dead Sea. As for the rest of it, so then half of it is used to bring a burnt offering, and the other half a peace offering. Halacha zayin. Amar ilu olasi v'ashar l'nizurusi. Dmei ola yabo ola v'ashar yiblundava. If he had said that these monies should be used for my burnt offering and the extra should be used for my nazir karbanos, and then he had died, in that case, the money for the burnt offering, the ola, should be used for a burnt offering, and the extra money should be used for extra voluntary karbanos. Hachachas. Mi shedima shehu chai b'nizirus v'hefresh karbanosav v'achakach shal l'chacham v'orahu she'en zet neder v'enu chai b'nizirus ma'yasa v'karbanos shehefresh. If somebody had thought that he was obligated to be a nazir, and then he had set aside karbanos for that intention, and then afterwards he had asked a Torah scholar who ruled for him that no, this was not actually a binding vow, he's not really obligated to be a nazir. So what should he do with the karbanos that he had set aside? Yitzu v'yirba eder. They're left to go out and to pasture along with the rest of the flock. Shezeh hektish tos, she'eno hektish kamoshis bar b'komo. Because this is something which is considered as if he had sanctified it mistakenly, and that's not going to be exactly binding sanctity, as I will explain in the proper place. Halachatas. Ha'isha shenadra b'nazir, v'frisha karbanoseha, v'achakach hefer labayla. If a woman had taken upon herself a neder to be a nazir, and she had set aside her karbanos, then afterwards her husband had removed that status of being a nazir, he had removed that neder, if the karbanos that she had set aside belonged to the husband, in that case, they are able to go out and pasture along with the rest of the flock, because a person, referring to the woman in this case, has no ability to sanctify something which doesn't belong to her, referring to the husband in this case. He was the real owner. If, however, the karbanos belonged to her, the husband had no domain over them. For example, if it had been given to her as a gift, with the condition that the husband have no domain over them whatsoever, rather she can do with them as she wills. In that case, then, the sin offering is left to die, the burnt offering is brought as a burnt offering, and as for the peace offering, it's brought as a peace offering as well. It's limited by the rules of a nazir in some sense, in that it can only be eaten for one day, but it does not require bread to be brought with it. If the woman had set aside money that was not clearly specified, as we saw, for any specific karbon, so in that case, it should be used to bring a voluntary karbon. If they were designated specifically for the purpose of a chatas, the sin offering, so then they should be thrown away, they go to the Dead Sea. If it was specified for the burnt offering, it's brought as a burnt offering. Same idea as well as what we've seen from some of the previous lachos. The monies that had been designated specifically for the peace offering, they should be brought as a peace offering, and they can be eaten only for one day, and they don't need bread to come with them. Halach yud ala. Ha'isha shenadra b'nazir, v'nid meis b'sochi mei nazirus, v'achakach shama b'ayla v'hefer la, ha'itum v'via karbon tova. If a woman had taken upon herself the status of being a nazir, and then had become impure during the term of her being a nazir, and then afterwards her husband hears about it, and he absolves her of that neder to be a nazir. In that case, she still is obligated to bring the karbanos of a nazir who had become impure. Halach yud beis. Ish shehidir es b'no b'nazir. Hefer shalav karbanosav, v'lo ratzav ben b'nazir azu. Umacha hu o krovav o shegileach hu o shegilchu hu krovav. Hachatos tamas, v'ola tikarev ola, v'ashlam yikar v'ushlamim, v'nechon liyom echad, v'enen tunin lechad. If a man had declared that his son should be a nazir, as we saw in previous halachos, the father is able to uniquely do, and he had then gone and set aside karbanos for the purpose of his son's status of being a nazir, but then the son didn't want this status, and he objected, or his relative objected, or the son had given himself a haircut, or the relative had given himself a haircut. All of these, as we also saw earlier, are able to function as a valid protest against that which the father had done. In that case, the sin offering is left to die. The burnt offering is brought as a burnt offering. The peace offering is burnt as a peace offering. But it plays by the rules, as we've seen already, that it's only able to be eaten for one day. But it does not require bread to come along with it. If he had separated money without specification, then they are used to bring a voluntary offering. If it was specified, however, so in that case, then, once it was designated what it was, the money of the sin offering is thrown away, it goes to the Dead Sea. The money of the burnt offering is brought as a burnt offering, the money of the peace offering is burnt as a peace offering, and it does not require bread, but it can only be eaten for one day. If somebody had a pregnant wife, and he said that he will become a nazir when a son is born to him, and then he sets aside a karban, and then his wife had miscarried that child, and then afterwards she gives birth to a healthy child, in that case, it's unclear what the status of the karban should be, and therefore it's forbidden to shear them or to use them to perform any work. If there were two people, each one of them had been declared as a nazir, and one of them had become impure, but it's not known which of the two of them had been impure, what should they do about bringing their karbanos? They bring a karban of a nazir who had become impure, as well as a karban of a nazir who had completed his term successfully, at the end of the stage of their term of being a nazir. And then one of them stipulates that if I was the one who had become impure, so the carbon brought for the one who had been impure should be mine, and the one that's brought for the completion of the term of being a nazir should be yours. And the reverse as well. If I was the one who was pure, so then the one of the completion of the service should be mine, and the one for the impurity should be yours. And then they go and count a complete term of being a nazir after these karbanos are brought. And then afterwards, they bring another valid tahor karban, a karban brought for the completion of the service. And again, one of them says, and then at that stage, when they're bringing this, one of them says, if I was the one that was impure, then the one that we had already brought that was impure was mine, and the one that we had brought already that was for the pure completion of the process was yours, and this current one that's being brought now for the completion of the purification process is mine. And if the reverse was true, if I was the one that was pure and you were not, so then initially when we brought that one for the completion of the term, that was mine. The one that we had initially brought that was for having become impure was yours. And now this one we're bringing currently is for your completion of the term. And then in that case, Nimsu Shalom Hafsidu B'Karban Sehen Klum. It emerges that they haven't lost out on anything at all in their bringing of the karbanos. Halacha Tezvav. Meis Echad Mehem. Harizen Mevi Chatas Ov Ba'olas Pehema. If one of them had died, in that case, the other one brings a bird offering as a sin offering and an animal as a burnt offering. And he says as follows. If I was the one who was impure, then the sin offering was the one I was obligated in, and the burnt offering is just an extra donation. And if I was the one who was pure, in that case, then the one which is being brought as a burnt offering was my obligation to bring one, and as for the sin offering, that was one which was uncertain, and I was only bringing because of that. The silver remains zero acheres, maybe carbon tara. And he counts another term of being a nazir, and he brings another carbon for the completion of the service of a nazir. V'omer, and then he says as follows: Im tamei ha'isi ha'ola rishona nedava v'zu chova, v'im tara ha'isi ha'ola rishona chova v'zu nedava v'ze shar karbani. And he declares that if I was the one that was impure, the first burnt offering was an extra voluntary carbon, and this one is my obligatory one. And if I was the one that was still pure, had already completed it earlier. So then the first burnt offering that he had brought was the mandatory one, and this latter one is a voluntary one. And this is also then the rest of his carbon, that which he's bringing now, in terms of the chatas and the shlamim. And neither of them, then, in the case where they're both alive, would end up doing the process of shaving all their hair, unless they were children or women. And that's because, since it's only a doubt whether they're allowed to shave their heads using a razor, cutting off the corners, the payas, of their head, which they generally wouldn't be allowed to do, so we don't allow them to do so when it's only uncertain whether or not they have that obligation. Now, how can it be that this question would arise in the first place about their status of purity or impurity? For example, if there were these two people, each of them was a nazir, standing in a private domain, the halacha is, with regards to a private domain, that a question of impurity in that situation is going to err on the side of being considered impure. And one of them was seen by somebody on the outside as having become impure, but he doesn't know which of the two of them it was. However, if this witness wasn't outside of that area, rather he was inside of the area, then both of them are going to be pure. The rationale for this is that once there's this other fellow there, there are three people inside, and therefore the majority of them are going to be pure, because only one of the three had actually become potentially impure, and accordingly, the rules of a majority of people that are pure in a questionable case in the private domain is that it's going to be pure, just as would be true in any questionable case in the public domain. It too is going to be pure, as I will explain in its proper place. Halach Yudzai. When is this all true? If those that were the Nazirim inside of the courtyard were both silent, or they themselves weren't sure. If one of them said, however, I had not become impure, even if two witnesses are testifying to him that he had become impure, he's not going to be obligated to bring the carbon based off of their say-so. Why is this? Because the one who said that he had not become impure, it could be interpreted as if he was saying that he's not going to bring the carbon now because of having been made impure, because he's already asked a Torah scholar to remove, to absolve that neder that he had taken. And ultimately, a person is going to be believed when he talks about himself, because here he's not directly contradicting that which the witness had said, since this conceivably could have happened. He could have no longer been a nazir. Aval im shasak on his topic, though, hareza maybe carbon, afil api yed echad kemoshi b'arano. If, however, he's silent or he admits that he's not sure, in that case, he's obligated to bring a carbon even based off of the say-so of one witness, as the Ram has already explained. In a similar fashion, if one witness says to another person that, in my presence, you had taken upon yourself a vow to become a nazir, if that person then denies it, he's not obligated in anything. If, however, he doesn't deny, noeg nazirusso al piv. In that case, he is supposed to act as a nazir based off of the say-so of that one witness. Even if this witness says to two people, I saw one of you had become a nazir, but I don't know which of you it was. If they don't deny that which he says, so then they must act in accordance with the halachos of being a nazir based off of his say-so. Noag naziris al pi eid echad. If somebody had accustomed himself with the practices of being a nazir based off of the say-so of one witness, and then he violated them, he drank wine, or had become ritually impure with contact with a corpse, and two people had warned him not to do so, in that case he will receive lashes, even though the foundational element here is only based off of the say-so of one witness. Halach Yud Ches. Mei shayu mushkav l'rochav haderech. If there was a human corpse lying across the entire breadth of a pathway, and a Nazir walked by there, he's going to still be pure, even if the only way to get past there was to have stepped over the corpse or to touch it. And frankly, even though we knew that this was present, we knew that there was a corpse there. Why is that true? It's because still it's considered uncertain, and therefore, if it's an uncertainty about impurity in the public domain, then we say the halacha is and it's pure. Halacha test, final halacha in the parak. Amadar amurim, mahalik baraglav. This is if the fellow had been walking on his feet. Aval imhaya rochiv otan masa, harizat tamei. If, however, he had been riding on an animal or he had been carrying some burden, in that case, he's going to be impure. Why? Shemahalik baraglav, efshar shelo yiga, o shelo yayo, o shelo yaset. The rationale is, now we will understand better what the uncertainty was in the previous halacha, that somebody is walking on his feet, it's possible that he hadn't touched it, and it's possible that he hadn't actually passed over it, or moved it at all. Avotan o rochav, efshar shelo yiga, o shelo yaset, sharia meis the rochav adera. But if he was carrying some heavy burden or he was riding on an animal, it's impossible that he not touch it or pass over the corpse or cause it to move, because ultimately this corpse is lying across the whole entire pathway, and therefore we assume one of those must have happened. Have a wonderful day.